Safe Space after this.
On BBC Radio 4, Your Place or Mine, the travel show that's going nowhere, unless I can be convinced to get off the sofa.
We'll be uncomfortably hot for a portion of the summer. Then it'll definitely be too cold for a portion of the winter, where you're like, this is terrible. Why did my ancestors settle here?
Head over to BBC Sounds to hear plenty more, including the first episode of the new series with actor Rob Delaney.
If it's good enough for me, it might be good enough for you. Your call.
Give it a go. Yeah. Or don't. Your Place or Mine with me, Sean Keaveney, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, Saturday mornings at 10.
Now on Radio 4, Ellie's got some interesting thoughts on why the UK should be more like Game of Thrones.
Welcome everybody to Ellie Taylor's Safe Space!
Welcome. I am Ellie Taylor, and this is indeed my safe space. This is the programme where I spout off about some of my slightly controversial opinions, safe in the knowledge that here in this space, in this sacred safe space, I cannot and will not be judged for them. Honestly, it's amazing. You should all get one. Yeah. The BBC give them out to anyone. All you've got to do is ask. Giles Brandreth's got two. Yes, the absolute lads at Radio 4 have given me this platform to see what you, the great British public, and you are great, don't let anyone tell you otherwise, they've let me see what you think about some of the spiciest topics known to mankind. And maybe, just maybe, I might persuade one or two of you round to my way of thinking. And look, I'm not up here alone. Oh no, with me this week and every week is my assistant in crime, my partner in chief. It is resident BBC appointed straight white man, Robin Morgan.
Hello, Ellie. Hello, audience. Hello, BBC Sounds.
Lovely. Robin, you've travelled all the way from Wales today. Any controversial opinions about your homeland you'd like to share?
No, nothing at all. What a country. It's the best one, I think. We get free prescriptions on the NHS.
Wow, that is amazing.
And now I've been on the pill for 4 years.
That is incredible.
It's just nice to regulate, isn't it?
Robin. So let me just say it is a pleasure to be joined by a wonderful studio audience. Give it up for yourselves! Honestly, just thinking about you lot just makes me emotional. You are wonderful. You are appreciated. You are the kind of people to queue up outside to attend a free radio recording. And your queuing has not been in vain, because before tonight's show, we asked these bunch of lovely so-and-sos to write down on a bit of scrap paper, sorry, Greta, and reveal their own most controversial opinion. And they have not disappointed. Let's kick this off.
This person is called Steve. All Americans should be tasered each time they use a Z instead of an S.
Steve, there he is. Tell us about your hatred for Americans.
Well, I work for a company that employs a lot of them, and I just can't stand their spelling.
OK. I mean, just the spelling that does it for you?
There's a bit more, but they may be listening.
OK. What other things?
The false joy and happiness.
Steve, but what if it's actual real joy and happiness?
Not working for where I do. Okay.
And what's the company that you work for?
A financial one.
Steve, have you told the Americans how you feel?
Yes, and HR have told me not to do it again.
Steve, I know you might hate joy, but you've brought us much joy tonight. Thank you very much, Steve. I've got one here from Alice. Children should not be allowed to sit in trolleys. In the child seat is fine, but not in the basket part. People put their food in there and children are in there with their dirty shoes on. Alice, tell me about this.
Well, I work in a supermarket, so I see it quite often, and it just really irritates me. They're in there, and people putting their food there. It's not hygienic.
It's not hygienic. What supermarket do you work for?
Sainsbury's.
OK. Because if it was Waitrose, the class of child's shoe might be better.
I think, you know, it'd be organic mud.
Yes. A light smear of fennel on the bottom. Do you ever say anything? anything to the parents?
No.
You just look and glare.
Yeah.
I feel bad because my local supermarket is a Sainsbury's and I do let my child ride in the trolley like she's the captain of a ship. Oh my God, this is how my mother reacts when she sees my child do it. Do you know what, Alice? I'm so sorry and I will rethink. Do you know what? I will send my husband to the
supermarket. Next up, we have Paul. Paul says, I hate gnomes, they are ugly, and I want to hit them with a hammer. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, I just can't stand them. They're ugly. What purpose do they serve?
That's what I say about Robin a lot of the time. Do you come across many gnomes in a day-to-day sort of situation?
Yeah, my annoying brother went and got me one once. Just to wind me up.
I've got a question. Do you always carry the hammer with you, just to be ready?
No.
Paul was too long. Yeah, stay away from Paul.
Paul, I think it was nice to meet you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Liz says, recorder playing in primary schools should be banned. So there's a follow-up. If it isn't already. Liz, tell me about your traumatic childhood.
Well, I was made to play the recorder when I was in primary school, but my main point is, as a sometime musician, it is not a good instrument to introduce children to if they want to go on and have a musical career in the future.
Did you know that Lady Gaga started on the recorder?
You surprise me.
What is a suitable instrument for a budding musician?
Something like a guitar, or if you want to have a wind instrument, a penny whistle, because it doesn't make horrible screeching noises.
What I
if
love
you
most
overblow
of all,
it goes up an octave.
The lady in front of Liz has just demonstrated to her friend a penny whistle with a whoo. Lovely acting
I think you
out.
Mean
Thank
a swanny whistle.
Oh! Liz! Liz knows her stuff.
Yeah, take that stranger in front of Liz.
The shame! Did anyone play the recorder as a kid?
Yes.
A lot of you.
And how many of you are doing it professionally now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a horrific instrument.
Yeah, I think it is.
What do you play, Liz?
Well, I do play the recorder and I should be... I feel I'm the exception that proves the rule.
I really want you to have a recorder in your handbag right now.
I didn't bring it with me because of the security checks.
I mean, Paul brought a hammer, so...
You are sensational. Liz, thank you for sharing that with the group. Well, now we're all suitably warmed up and horrified in equal measure, it's probably time to reveal my own opinion this week. As I said to the lady in the gym changing room, I've seen yours, now take a look at mine. Do let me preface it with this. The United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland has an incredible history. As a union, it's achieved a great deal, and our ties between nations and regions span back hundreds, if not thousands, of years. We are, of course, broadcasting this on the British Broadcasting Corporation. But all that being said, and hurry up, Ellie, because I'm boring myself, my controversial opinion this week is... I think the UK should break up.
Oh, you hear about free prescriptions and now you want some of your own, do you?
I mean, in part, yes, but also for many other reasons. And before I get into those, let's see what the damage is. We're going to ask our studio audience to vote on whether they agree with me. Then we'll take another vote later on and see if I've convinced anyone. You got it?
Got it.
OK, so audience, using your keypads, vote now if you agree that the UK should break up. And vote now if you disagree and you think the UK should not break up. Okie dokie. Robin, what have we got?
Well, I can reveal that 15% of people agree that the UK should break up. Which means that 85% disagree.
85%. Okay, I see. You've given me a challenge. I like it. Don't worry. We'll have another vote later on to see if I've convinced any of you around or if I've lost any of your support. And yes, that has happened before. I'm a very powerful lady. I just don't know how to channel it quite yet. So the UK, let's talk about it. Why do I, Ellie Taylor, believe it should break up? And let me be clear, I'm not just talking about Scottish independence or Welsh independence. I'm talking about independence for everyone. Everyone. Yorkshire, Cornwall, Milton Keynes. Anyone with a postcode that has a four in it, fill your boots. Why, pray tell? Well, for one, because I think it will be a bit of a laugh. It would, though, wouldn't it? We'd be the laughing stock of the world for a few more years. And then... sort ourselves out. Let's treat these past few years as our uni days. We're experimenting with different ideas, different leaders. Why not mix it up a bit? And then we can sort ourselves out, settle down and be grown-ups. Because what must the world think of us right now? We're not the power we used to be, are we? Loads of people in Scotland want to run away. A decent chunk in Wales are thinking the same thing. Our royal family is imploding. It's like a soap opera. Every day there's a new scandalous headline.
Harry and William no longer speaking.
Or...
Kate and Meghan no longer speaking.
Or...
Prince Andrew and Emily Maitlis no longer speaking.
Fair enough, she made him look like a right silly sausage, didn't she? What I'm saying is, the UK is having a few blips right now, so let's just get all our craziness over and done with. Decades from now, historians will look back at this time and go...
Oh my, there must have been something in the water.
And there was. Crap. Waste pumped into rivers and seas. So it's no wonder we've all gone a bit mad. It makes sense we've gone topsy-turvy.
Makes sense. This is like something someone on a four-day bender would be arguing for.
But that's what it's felt like for the last few years. Do you remember in 2016 when loads of celebrities were dying and people said, oh, this is the worst year ever? Bet they feel pretty stupid now.
It wasn't just that made 2016 a bad year.
What, Brexit?
Oh, no, for a few weeks we thought we were going to lose the BBC Good Food website.
Look, we've all got our own flags already, so that's one thing ticked off.
What about the other countries which have the Union flag within it?
Oh, well, they could choose something new to replace it, something better.
The Welsh flag, then.
God, you guys love your flag, don't you?
It's got a dragon on it, mate.
What's the green?
Grass.
What's the white?
Sky.
Sky's blue?
Not in Wales.
Look, why don't we give the breakup a go, at least for a bit?
Like a trial separation?
Yeah! Yeah, see if we miss each other. You don't truly know who you are until you've been on your own. You can't love until you learn to love yourself.
Why are you quoting Instagram posts from basic white women?
I was actually quoting posts from my Instagram, Robin.
Sorry.
But I reckon let's give it a whirl. And then a year from now, if we want to get back together, we can all meet in the middle of the UK.
Where's the middle of the UK?
At the town of Haltwhistle in Northumberland.
That's ages away.
Yeah, it's true. Let's just meet in London.
Okay.
Look, I'm sure it will be a bureaucratic nightmare, and I'll be honest, I haven't looked too deeply into the finances of it. I'm more of an ideas woman. My strength is my charisma. My ideas are built on vibes.
Charisma and vibes don't convince people to vote to leave something, Ellie.
That's exactly what they do, Robin.
No, you're right. I have no idea why I said that.
Yeah, so come with me on this journey of vibes. Here's a reason why we should steam ahead with it. If we split up this island into bits and bobs, England, Wales, Scotland, Yorkshire, Cornwall, Devon, I just think it would be a bit more...
Organised, democratic?
No, a bit more like Game of Thrones. And I personally don't think that would be a bad thing.
You're forgetting about all the violence and incest.
No, I said Cornwall and Devon, didn't I? Just a little joke. I immediately apologise to our future continental neighbours of Cornwall and Devon. But while we're at it, I bet they'd love to be fully independent. They could finally take their lives into their own hands and sort out the issues that matter to them, waging war against each other to decide whether on a scone it's jam or cream first.
Is Game of Thrones the best comparison for what a broken-up UK would be like, though?
Of course it is.
Yes, I have been away for many years, but this is where my homeland is, and I will defend it, and its people to the death. I am the true King of the North. I am Andy Burnham. Mayor of Manchester, where the trains are god-awful.
My point
is, maybe smaller states are a good idea. We could take it even further and just break the UK into 650 constituencies, make each MP a king or queen.
So Jacob Rees-Mogg would become king of North East Somerset?
Yeah, I think that title would humble him. Surely, if we broke into little pieces, we could organise our lives a bit better.
That sounds incredibly hard to organise.
Nah. What's the smallest country in the world?
The Vatican City.
And do they have any problems? No.
Yes.
No, none that I'm going to say on the BBC. Anyway, it's not a safe space from God, Robin.
Do you think making every MP a king or queen is a bad idea?
Okay, give me one good reason why.
Well, because I've just realised that Michael Fabricant would become a king and I don't know how he'd wear a crown.
His hair is a crown.
Yeah, fair enough.
So let's go back to my original point. The United Kingdom should break up. England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Cornwall, Yorkshire, Manchester, going it alone.
But why?
For one, each nation would immediately have three new trading partners. Bosh, done it, trade deal. Easy peasy. Scotland could export whiskey. Wales could export lamb. Northern Ireland could export...
Go on.
No, I was finished. That was finished. They could export anything they wanted.
I just thought you were bringing up Northern Ireland without any real knowledge of it.
Who am I? Dominic Raab? Plus, if we do go down the route of regions, so Yorkshire, Cornwall, Manchester, if they were independent too, we could trade with them. Imagine being the minister who signs a trade deal to ensure Yorkshire puddings are on the menu.
They'd win in a landslide.
Exactly! I don't think it would cause too much hassle, would it, if we all went our separate ways? But who knows? Robin, how would you fare in a broken-up UK if it all got a bit mad maxi?
I think I'd do very well.
Oh, really? You think you'd excel in a dog-eat-dog wasteland?
Not in the sense of survival, but I think I'd just attach myself to whatever group I found first and just sort of, like, vibe it, you know? Don't want to cause a fuss. Sorry. That's
yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see you doing that, yeah.
How do you think you get on?
Robin, I've been on Strictly, so I think I'll be okay. Plus, it won't be this Mad Max sort of thing. That is just Project Fear.
This is all starting to sound quite familiar.
And think of all the extra money each nation will have.
Why will they have extra money?
That's a great question, Robin, and I'd love to answer it. If you head outside, there's a big bus with all the information written on it.
People aren't going to trust it because it's on a bus.
Oh, you'd be surprised. We can't really predict what life will be like if it happens, because it could happen in so many ways. At the start of the year, Nicola Sturgeon leading Scotland to independence felt quite inevitable. Now, who knows? Maybe it won't be Scotland who leaves first. Maybe it'll be Wales or Northern Ireland.
Or East Anglia. Give it 10 years and they'll technically no longer be part of the UK.
Why? What would they be part of?
The sea. An underwater metropolis.
God, I hadn't thought of that. Plus, what's even keeping us together? Team GB, Bake Off, Paddington.
He's from Peru.
Robin, shut up. Also, can it get any worse? Unless the government decide to really ramp up the contempt on the smaller nations and, I don't know, substantially reduce their funding or make them pay for rail improvements which only take place in England or allow water companies to dump fecal waste on their coastlines.
Ellie, they are doing that.
I know, Robin, I was being satirical. God! Look, I clearly need some backup as I'm not getting any from you, which is why it's now time for this week's guest. That's right, I've been searching high and low for someone to talk to and I am delighted by who I've found. Please welcome historian with expertise in medieval European history, it's Gabby Story! Welcome. I feel like I should sort of curtsy or something, as you are an expert in medieval history.
Yes, and I think Robin should bow. Yes. So if
you I was going to offer you a hog roast.
Well, I'm ready for a feast, so okay.
So tell us, what does it mean to be an expert in medieval history?
I mean, it's really fun, to be honest, because you get to unpick all these stories about the past. But as you kind of expect with medieval history, there's quite a lot of conflict going on between all these kingdoms that come up over time. So, yeah, it can be quite a difficult place to be sometimes.
Well, I am trying to convince everyone in the room that it's worth returning to separate kingdoms, which you've just spoken about. So what was it like when the United Kingdom was split up like that? Was it cute? I bet it was cute.
I think it's cute if you're rich and you can afford to not be round the peasants.
Classic,
and,
yeah.
You know, have nice clothes and so on. But the rest of the time, it's really just a lot of warfare, because you have... In England, for example, you've got this big migration period after the fall of the Roman Empire, all these invading Germanic tribes, and you have seven new kingdoms set up, so very Game of Thrones-like.
My God, it is.
So you've got East Anglia, you've got Mercia, which is like the Midlands, Northumbria, and then Wessex, which is basically the south. So, yeah, you've got a couple of minor kingdoms coming along as well, and they're all just fighting with each other, to be honest. And you've got the Vikings who come and invade as well.
Do you think all this would have been sold if they'd just gone to therapy?
Yeah, you know, if they just sit down, have a little talk with each other, get it all out, rather than just picking up an axe and deciding to lob it at your nearest neighbour.
Or a hammer on a gnome. These things happen, don't they? How did it work having lots of different kingdoms? Sort of, were there trade deals? What was going on?
They're conquering each other as well. I mean, East Anglia falls quite early on. It gets taken over by the Midlands. So do with that what you will. one of its kings, Offa. Some people might know about Offa's Dyke, which is built between Wales and England as well. So he builds that to try and keep the Welsh out. And it's...
No, I'm aware.
And there's not lots of unifying factors for these kingdoms. Eventually, they all become Christianized. So at this time, we're really talking about having pagan peoples, and they gradually convert to Christianity in the early medieval period. But that's their main unifying factor. There's some elements of like economic and trade things that they do partake in with one another, but lots of separation.
Okay, so all these little kingdoms, and then eventually they came together to be sort of England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland. How did the UK emerge?
Once some of those minor kingdoms or smaller kingdoms I've just mentioned, so East Anglia and Mercia and Northumbria, they all come together and become England. Now, you've still got Wales that's a principality, so it's still got lots of various princes of Wales that then fight and try to unite the various Welsh kingdoms. Doesn't usually work that well. So
yeah,
they end
boys.
So they end up being conquered by Edward I in the 13th century. So that's Wales kind of like brought into union with England. And it doesn't get properly recognised. You know, Wales is always just like, oh, it's England. And we just talk about Wales as though it's the same thing. And it's not. But it doesn't really get a more distinctive identity, a distinctive notion till the reign of Henry VIII. He gets involved in a lot of conflict.
Absolutely, lad.
Player's going to play.
Yeah. And as well as this, Scotland's got its own, again, temporary kingdoms that come out of tribal groups. These eventually unite into one kingdom, Kingdom of Alba. And they're brought into this union. So we have a Union Act in 1707, which brings together Scotland, England and Wales. Ireland gets brought in 1801, but... Again, Ireland's another place where you just have loads of these little kingdoms that get brought under an overlord, and then the English try and colonise it from the 12th century onwards.
So classic England, yeah.
Yeah, and with Ireland, by 1500, you've kind of like lost control of it a bit. You know, Ireland started to move away. Henry VIII comes back onto the scene. Nope, I'm going to get involved. Makes Ireland a kingdom. So before this, it had been a lordship, not a kingdom. Elevates it a bit. Takes about another 100 years to try and conquer it. But there's always rebellions. And that's the same with Wales and Scotland, to be fair. There's still lots of resistance.
That's why I'm here now.
Yeah. As your final act.
Yeah. So I guess nation states, they're like a relatively modern invention there. So could we potentially go back to like little kingdoms of Yorkshire, Cornwall? Do you think it's feasible?
I don't know why you'd want to, because I think there's so much unity to have in being together. Like, I know you're always going to fall out with your neighbours a bit, aren't you? There's always something, someone playing their stereo too loud, someone knocking on your door too much.
Someone's trying to colonise you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But no, I think there's more unity in being together. There's something useful about the fact that you've got, whether that's similar language or similar customs, there's something helpful about being together as one union, and that still allows for some separation. Whereas I think history has shown us, and Game of Thrones has shown us, that if you split into separate kingdoms, you're just going to fight with each other.
Gabby, if you had your own kingdom, what would you have on your flag?
I'd have a big purple flag. I like the colour purple. So I think
regal.
Yeah, quite distinctive. But I really like food. Would I put food on top of it?
Yes. What's your favourite meal?
I like a taco.
Gabby, that is excellent. Thank you so much. Gabby's story, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, for those of you in the audience who aren't fully with me yet, I'm going to go nuclear, okay? If the United Kingdom breaks up, then... each of us would be eligible to enter Eurovision! Adam! It would be longer. We'd get to root for our own nation while politically voting against our neighbours. We'd finally feel accepted.
I'd be up for that. Wales in a singing competition. Come on, mate, we'll wipe the floor with you.
It would also bring positive, meaningful change to our day-to-day lives. I am, of course, talking about drop-down menus on online forms. How many times have you had to scroll all the way to the bottom of the list of countries before accidentally getting too excited and declaring that you live in the United Arab Emirates?
OK, what about the negatives of breaking up the UK?
Like what?
For one, I think it would make Judi Dench sad. It would be sad to lose all that history, I think.
But, you know, change is part of life. Don't be sad that it ended. Be glad that it happened. Well, what about the language barrier? Would that be an issue?
No, I think English would still be the main language for a while.
You're learning Welsh, aren't you?
Actually? I am, actually. My son goes to a Welsh language school. The first day I dropped him off, one of the other mums...
Other mums, you're not a mum.
I have the vibe of a mum.
You do have the vibe of a mum, it's true.
I'm in the mum's WhatsApp group.
Do they know you're in it?
Yes.
Carry on with the story.
First day I dropped him off, one of the mums said to me, do you speak any Welsh, Robin? And I said, petit pois.
You know what? It would make crossing the borders a lot more tricky.
More queues, though. British people have a queue.
Oh, yeah, but we wouldn't be British anymore, Robin. You'd never listen. Maybe, actually, that would be the one thing that would keep us all united. One characteristic we'd all still possess. A love of queuing. A deep respect for queuing. Unless you're the hosts of ITV's This Morning. But are we just chatting about something that will never happen? Am I just being the worst person at a dinner party? You know, the ones who are saying...
Just playing devil's advocate.
And...
I'm just asking questions.
Is all of this hypothetical? Is it likely to happen? Who knows? But things can change quickly. If Lorraine Kelly decided enough was enough and went full Braveheart, might that start a chain reaction that'll end with Shirley Bassey destroying the Severn Bridge in Wales with her voice and Gloria Hunniford would take care of Northern Ireland?
Why would it all be female celebrities of a certain age?
Because if you want to get something done, Robin, get a woman over 50 to do it, OK? They don't have time to piss about with silly things like referendums. They'll just get on with it! It's time to have another vote. I've done all I can to convince this lovely lot that the UK should indeed break up into lots of little kingdoms. Remember, highlights, it'll be a laugh, extra Eurovision, right? Let's see if I've won anyone around. Studio audience of the BBC Radio Theatre, please pick up your keypads and start voting. If you believe that the UK should break up, vote now. And if you disagree and believe that the UK should not break up, vote now. The numbers are coming in. Look at this data. Robin, hit me, baby.
2% agree. And 98% disagree, which means you've lost 13% of the audience.
How has that even happened? Eurovision, will you not think of Eurovision? OK, fine, maybe we're not ready for the UK to break up. Maybe we'll just splutter on for a few more decades as things are. Or maybe, like a marriage you want to fix, let's work on it. Maybe some counselling sessions, maybe some quality time together. Dare I say, a group entry at Eurovision.
You can't fix everything with Eurovision.
You can bloody well try. Think about it, a supergroup made up of the best artists from each nation, each region, each kingdom. We could do this. Robin, get Tom Jones on the line. We're going to do this. That's it for this week. Join me in my safe space next time. I've been Ellie Taylor. Goodbye.
Ellie Taylor's Safe Space was written by and starred Ellie Taylor and Robin Morgan. It was produced by Georgia Keating and is a BBC Studios production.
And you can join Ellie next week for more Safe Space, and you can find all the previous episodes on BBC Sounds. Comedian Susan Coleman is in love with her television. It makes her very, very happy. And she's here tomorrow at 6:30 to share that happiness with you. After the news tonight, Oliver faces a dilemma and Brian has concerns when we're off to Ambridge for the Arches.
It's 2005.
A weekend of riots in the Lascelles area left two men dead, 35 needing hospital treatment.
Claims that a Jamaican girl has been attacked at a South Asian-owned beauty queen shop in Birmingham escalate tensions between local communities.
When you're living in a society which hasn't got a level playing field, you're going to have uprisings.
I'm Amadeep Bassi. I covered those riots 18 years ago, and now I want to know what really happened and what lessons can be learned.
It turned my whole world upside down. Things that I'd fought for, I struggled for, I stood for, crumbling down.
The Beauty Queen Riots. Next Monday to Friday afternoon.